in Jesus' name. Amen. Please forgive my croaky voice. I'm just getting over a cold. And let's hope it just stays there till the end of the service. And all the people said, amen. Any Bibles, please? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Thank you. We read there, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and song. He is good. His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Now, wouldn't you like that to happen here? That Pastor Alan Roth could just shut up? Don't answer that. But wouldn't it be wonderful for the glory of the Lord to fall on us? Keep expecting that to happen. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And Faye leading this morning, encouraging us, because the Bible's true, he inhabits our praises. And sometimes we can come and we're tired or we're weary, things on our mind, and that's why it's called a sacrifice sometimes of praise. It's a sacrifice. Hands, get up there. You with me? Mouth, speak, sing. God's presence came to the temple in response to the people's thanksgiving. He heard an attitude of gratitude. Coming from the people, God loved to hear the praises from the temple, and so he drew near. It appears that thanksgiving and praise are the key to manifesting the presence of God. It pleases him. Where is the temple today? I know it's hard to answer in case you're wrong. But there's been a radical relocation of the presence of God. His presence now is within us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, as Maureen talked about this morning. We are the temples. You know, and when we praise the Lord, his presence begins to rise in our hearts and in our souls. Begins to move us and touch us and heal us. That's why praise is so important. That's why having an attitude of gratitude is so important. God does not inhabit the complaining of his people. Psalm 22, verse 3, God inhabits the praises of his people. Folks, I need his presence every day. Every day. If you desire the presence of God in your life, develop the attitude of gratitude. Be in the presence of greatness just by your praises, having an attitude of gratitude. Number two, replace complaining with commending. You know, whinging and grumbling are one of the biggest barriers to gratitude. We need to learn to stop ourselves when we complain and change it immediately. Numbers 11:1 says, the Israelites complained about their hardships, and when God heard it, his anger was aroused. They were just 3 days into their journey from Egypt, and they started complaining. And these things were written long ago for our instruction. God is saying, please don't complain. You have so much to be thankful for. So much. But human nature sometimes goes that way. Have you noticed? Am I the only one? It goes that way sometimes. Someone once wisely said, you won't get what you don't have until you learn to be grateful for what you do have. I think that's so true. We so often focus on our lack, on what's missing. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:14, do everything. How much? Everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in this crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Only yesterday I read a survey of the unchurched. What is their biggest gripe against the church? The unchurched, the biggest gripe to the church. The number one. They had looked at what the Bible says and what church is supposed to be, and they looked at the lack of consistency between the Bible and the Christian. And they were saying it turns them off. It turns them off. Now, I'm not saying they need to be perfect, but I think an attitude of gratitude will go a long way to dispelling those things. The 19th century British evangelist, Gypsy Smith. Anybody heard of him? Gypsy Smith? He once quipped, there are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. The problem is, most of the world doesn't read the first four. They only read the fifth. We are the fifth. Challenge for us all. Go 24 hours without complaining. Just try that tomorrow morning when you get up at 6 or 7 or whatever. Just say, I'm going to go 24 hours and I'm not going to whinge once. Your wife might say, what's the matter with him? All the other way around. Number 3, make a choice to rejoice. At times, it's difficult to be thankful. We need to make a personal decision, a choice that we are going to be grateful people even when we don't feel like it or when it's hard. Paul wrote these words from prison, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Now, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And he was probably in Rome when he wrote this, under house arrest. And Nero was the boss at the time, and you know what he was like. And I do sense from commentaries I've read that Paul had some inclination where he was headed. I don't know whether you know or not, but eventually Paul was beheaded. But these are the things he's saying. Rejoice. Paul made a personal choice despite his circumstances. He decided that even though he was in prison, it didn't matter. He was going to praise and thank God anyway. One of the greatest discoveries of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of gratitude, their attitudes of mind. William James said, as a man thinks, so is he. Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The mind is so powerful, and we must play a part to renew this mind because he is worthy of our gratitude. I read a book many years ago. Please listen carefully to this. It was given to me by a fellow pastor and a fellow friend, and his name was Pastor David Mead. And he had suffered all his life from CF. And the book he lent me was called Happiness is a Choice. Happiness is a Choice. And David suffered terrible with CF. Claire will remember Pastor David and my wife and Phil. wonderful guy, but he read this book and lent it to me. All he was going through, he said, Alan, read this book because happiness is a choice. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe most people are about as happy as they make up their mind to be. Now, you could be sitting there thinking, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I do know this will help you. This will help you, no matter what you're going through. I mean, I'm not a young spring chicken anymore. I know you may have noticed that. And when you get to my age, and my wife's age, we've been through a few things. And we know it's better to have an attitude of gratitude than whinging and complaining. Somebody say amen. We have to make a conscious decision that we're going to be grateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in, not for, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How are you going to do that? How are you going to give thanks in everything unless you really have a relationship with Him? And how are you going to get that? You've got to get into this book. That's why I preached a year ago. This book is inspired by God. Every word. The word of God is alive and powerful. It can change lives. I'm not going to ask you, but are you into this daily? If you're not, there's no way that you're going to have an attitude of gratitude. You're only going to know the God of the book when you get to know the book of God. I'm conscious today that some may be going through some very tough times, and gratitude to you may just be too hard. Let me encourage you to allow Scripture to encourage you daily. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord. All his 400 guys, their wives and their goods had all been stolen. And his wife had been stolen. And then all the guys turn on him. They were about to stone him. I mean, that is not a nice place to be. But what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, sometimes you might have nobody and nothing, but you always have God. Always. Churchill said, if you're going through hell, keep going. Number two, God is with you. Matthew 28:20. I am always with you. Everybody say always, always, always. You will benefit from it all in God's economy, because Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things, even terrible things, even tough things, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. That's an incredible verse. That is an incredible verse. No matter what is happening in your life, you can say, God will get something good out of this because I love Him and He loves me. You are not alone. You know, sometimes when you're in tough times, we can think we're the only ones to go in through it. But listen, everyone you meet is enduring a battle of their own. That's why we should be kind to everybody. Everybody. Don't give them more to put up with. You don't know what I'm going through, and I'm not going to tell you. But be nice to me. Are you with me? Everybody, I'm not, don't show hands, but everybody is going through something. Everybody. This is life. Folks, this is life. And it's not for us to put more on them. All the people said, amen. How many of you saw the film Patch Adams? Patch Adams, if you haven't, watch it. He said, at the age of 18, true story, I made up my mind to never have another bad day in my life. I dove into the endless sea of gratitude from which I never emerged. As you know, it's been proven that being happy is healthy. God knew all those years ago in Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Laughter releases a substance in your brain called endorphins, which helps your body fight disease and releases healing powers. It's amazing that 20th century people are now finding out that God was right all along. A merry heart. How am I going to get a merry heart, Pastor? How am I going to get a merry heart? Well, focus on how much God really loves you and what he's done for you. Then get with somebody that's positive and has a good attitude. Let them tell you some funny jokes. Read Reader's Digest or something. Make a choice to rejoice and release the endorphins. Have you ever heard the term three cheers for whatever and whoever? Nobody? Thank you, Mark. Glad you came today, brother. Did you know that Jesus gave us three cheers? John 16:33. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Matthew 9:2. Be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven. Matthew 14:27. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Three cheers for Jesus. Hip hip. That's one. Number four. Decide daily to give thanks. In order to be thankful people, we need to discipline ourselves to give thanks every day, to find something in each day that we should be thankful to God for. But what? What do you mean, Pastor? Have you got a pulse? You got a pulse? Be thankful that you're alive. I'm not kidding you, but my wife and I, we are thankful for our lives. Even when life is tough, we are thankful for our grandchildren, our children, our great-grandchildren. We're thankful for our health. Not young anymore, 50-something. No, a bit more than 50. Don't laugh at that thing. But we are thankful. An old hymn goes, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We got a good friend, Pastor Wendy Megelsey. You may know her. I think she's been here. Upon discovering recently the early onset of diabetes and she was fighting cancer, she refused to focus on the negative. She said, what an amazing country we live in. In just one day, that was today, this is my portion. My fortnightly pension arrived in my bank account. My doctor's appointment was bulk billed. My ultrasound was bulk billed. 5 physio appointments were gratis. My electricity account was subsidized. I will have a lot to say in my gratitude journal tonight. And my prayers of gratitude will rise also. She had an attitude of gratitude. You remember Paul and Silas in prison, in stocks. And around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and whinging. No, they weren't. They were praying and singing hymns to God. and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Hallelujah. They were in stocks. Folks, you might think stocks are when you go to an old Australian town, you put your head in, and they're just like that, or you put your feet in. But these stocks that Paul and Silas were in were as far apart as you could go. And that's how they were left. Their legs were spread as far as they could possibly go without breaking them. They were in the dark, damp dungeon. And at midnight, come on, at midnight, they were singing and praising God. I think they knew God. Paul and Silas could make a choice to rejoice. How much more you and I? We get the grace when we need it. You know, a lot of people create a storm and then they complain when it begins to rain. We've come to expect good things and even take them for granted. And when one of them is removed for a short time, like water, electricity, or the internet goes down, we can get upset. Let's make an effort today to recognize the blessings and not take them for granted. Focus on what we have rather than what we don't have, and see if it doesn't improve your attitude of gratitude. Here's a philosophy we have in our house. You can develop it or you can throw it away. Whenever we receive a water bill, electricity bill, registration bill for the car, insurance bill for the car, this is what we normally say. Let's say water. Here comes the bill, a little window on it. This is what we normally say. Thank you, Lord. When I turn that tap on, water comes out. When I go in the shower, water comes out. When I flick that switch and I get the electric bill, the light comes on. Are you with me? We are not to kill the golden goose that lays the golden egg. And I know you can complain about governments and Labour government or whatever, they're moving along quickly. We can complain about governments, but listen, this is a great country and we have a lot to be thankful for. So next time you get a bill, say to your wife or your husband, woo, got the electric bill, power staying on, if we pay it. Are you with me? Trying to eclipse his brother, who gave a gift of a Cadillac to their mother. A Hollywood producer paid $10,000 for an amazing minor bird to give to his mother on her birthday. The bird spoke 11 languages and sang grand opera. On the night of her birthday, he called her long distance. What did you think of the bird, ma'am? He asked. Delicious, he said. At times, many Christians fail to see the goodness of God right in front of them. Develop a daily attitude of gratitude. One of the in things to do is to go to a bar and drink after you get off work. It's even called happy hour. Sounds good, doesn't it? Happy hour. Here's a far better and healthier happy hour. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy, is happiness forevermore. Maybe church should be the Christian's happy hour. In your thanksgiving and praise, That'll be your happy hour. Maya Angelou. Don't know whether you've read anything about Maya, but great lady. She said, "This is a wonderful day. I've never seen it before." And that's true. When you woke up this morning, were you glad you woke up? God gave us a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one to say thank you? Oh, Pastor, not so heavy. But it's true, we need reminding of the goodness of God and what we have. The benefits of gratitude: it refocuses our attention, it relieves our anxiety, it refreshes our relationship, it reinforces our faith. Let me bring it to a close. Anybody heard of Charles Swindoll? Top guy. Attitude to life. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. It is more important than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than success, than whatever anyone might say or do. It is more important than appearances, giftedness, or skill. The remarkable thing is that we have the choice to create the attitude we have for every day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the way people act. We cannot change the inevitable. The one thing we can change is the only thing we have control over, and that is our attitude. He goes on to finish here and says, "I am convinced that life is 10% of what actually happens to you and 90% of how we react to it." Do you like that? I like it. It's challenging though, isn't it? It's challenging. See, people can be nasty to you, but it's your choice how you react or respond to them. And I'm not saying it's easy. It can be very difficult when people are nasty to you and saying bad things about you. But it's our choice. Isn't it? It's our choice. Nobody can make it for you. You have to do it. You have to do it. You have to do it. When I don't do the right thing at home, dear, you have to do it. At times we simply have to say, "God, I just put my trust in you." Let's pray. Father, I hope today that these your people realize that this is not just a message, but this can be a life-changing message of having an attitude of gratitude to whatever comes into our life. Even though we fail at times, Lord, but to develop it more and more, to be grateful people. We have so much to be grateful for, Lord. So much to be grateful for. You are such a good God, such a good God. We thank you so much for the life you've given us. Lord, I pray for the people here today. That, Lord, you'd speak to their hearts. Help them to respond, O God, in their hearts, to make a decision. If they haven't already been doing it, that when they leave here, they got to decide, "I am going to have an attitude of gratitude." because I have so much to be grateful for. Help them to do that, Lord. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I don't know everybody here, but what I do know is salvation is so wonderful. God is so wonderful. And if you've never, ever made the decision to give your life to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I repent of them, Lord, and I'm sorry. Forgive me for them and come and live in my life. Make me a new person. I want to follow you. I want to be a Christian. If you've never, ever done that in your life, this day can be your day to have a brand new start and a brand new life. While no one's looking around and every eye is closed, every head is bowed, if you want to do business with God today and say, I want God's forgiveness and a new life, would you raise your hand quickly and put it down? I'll pray for you before you go home. Just slip it up quickly and put it down again. Let me pray for you to start a brand new life. Just slip it up and put it down, and we'll pray for you. Thank you very much. God bless you. Anybody else want to lift your hand and say, I want to live for Jesus? And I want to develop that attitude of gratitude. Okay, let's all stand together. I'm conscious this morning, as I said, some of you may be going through difficult times, whether that's sickness, emotional hurts, family difficulties, difficulties at work, financial hardships. We want to pray for you this morning that God will just come and touch your life and give you hope. Hope for a better future. That you can go from here today with fresh strength in your life, fresh hope in your life. That God is good, and no matter what happens, He will take care of me. So without indicating this morning, I'm going to pray for you. Is that you? Just receive this prayer. Open your heart. Let God touch you now. Let Him touch you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know every needy heart that needs a fresh touch from you. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, O God, Holy Spirit, come and touch these people. Do something miraculous. Do something wonderful, O God, because that's who you are. You're miraculous and you're wonderful. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Touch these people today by the Holy Ghost and fire. Touch them, O God. Give them a new vision and a new attitude of gratitude. I pray you'll do that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. Well, thank you for your kind attention.